Good morning, Grace.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great. I'm having a little bit of a cold, but I'm getting better, so I'm doing great.
Yeah, the weather, as we're recording this, the weather got, it's winter again. It was summer and now it's winter. So, yeah.
Exactly. I even put out my summer clothes last week and put away my winter jackets. Surprise, it's April.
Yeah, it's crazy. You live in Basel at the moment. You've been traveling a lot, and I guess you will go again soon from what I've seen online. Do you want to, well, first of all, introduce yourself and what you're doing at the moment?
Yes. So I'm Grace. I grew up in Austria and I came to Basel the first time, I think around 6 years ago. And it was more of a job situation as well. And then as you said, I started traveling and then came back. And what I do is, so it's always a funny question for me because there is so much I do. I can't really pick it because so let's say the main thing I'm focusing on at the moment is helping women as a mind-body eating coach to feel better in their bodies and to get around all the challenges around food, weight, body image, and so on. But I came a lot from the direction of yoga, fitness. I'm a yoga teacher as well. I do a lot of kids yoga. And at the side, I'm always like working with kids in any form because I just love them. I just love to work with them. And in Austria, also actually I'm a teacher for biology and nutrition. So there's a lot of things, and I'm shifting my focus here and then. And yeah, at the moment, I'm kind of doing all of them.
And I think it's great that you say it like that because I would hate introducing myself as well because I do so many different things. And marketing tells you choose a niche and focus on that. And then I can't. I just can't. So
Yes,
welcome to the
I
club.
absolutely, yeah.
And I think it's great that you share it. And I think I'm sure there are more of us out there, and we should. I felt so bad about it for so long, and now I'm like, whatever. I do everything. It's okay.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And I feel like, hey, if I like to do it, and if I'm it just gives me joy and it fulfills me, why not? I think for me, sometimes it's hard, or I need to be aware of my energies, like where do I focus, what is important, what are the priorities, and but that's kind of a learning as well for me, so.
Yeah, same. I actually gave a yoga class again after 6 years of not teaching at
Wow.
all. I gave puppy yoga in March. There was this puppy yoga class, and now at the Looking Glass again on Sunday. And then I noticed, okay, how does it make me feel? And did I enjoy it? Or yeah, I don't know how it is for you teaching and coaching and podcasting. Did you notice the differences when you do these things?
Yes, absolutely. Like for me, it's kind of, I mean, whatever I do, I'm kind of in a different role. I'm definitely in a different role when I'm doing a podcast rather than I'm teaching a kids yoga class or if I'm teaching a functional trainings class. So there's a different energy within me. And this is definitely something I notice. Yeah. I feel like when I'm with kids, obviously, like I'm such a kid. Yeah.
And
So definitely you can imagine.
do you consciously put that suit on, or do you have to do something before you do these things, or it just happens?
You know, that's really a question of where my energy is. Like when let's say I'm taking care of my sleep, I'm super recovered, I'm not overworking, and I feel my batteries are loaded, then it's naturally. So that's when I'm full of my energy and I go into a coaching, I'm there and I'm in my coaching suit, let's say. And then I'm in a kids yoga class and I'm just into it, into the game. But then there are days, and I realized that when it's a really busy time, let's say it's it's holiday season and I have kids yoga in the morning and then I have coachings in the afternoon and in between I want to record a podcast. So then it's really a lot of changing the different settings. And then I feel it's really hard to, okay, get yourself into this space now. And I have my tools like working with breath work or like putting on the right music for the next setting to really get my suit on. But yeah, this really is the difference, I think.
Yeah, and we tend to do too much, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. A funny fact, like I'm working with people to manage these things, so not overload their calendar. And then I always catch myself doing it as well. Like, yeah.
Same. Especially now that it gets like summertime, then you want to do all the things and be outside and yeah.
Yes.
And then we have to also, I guess you also do that work with your cycle and see, okay, when do I need to rest and when can I give it all? But it's tricky
Yes.
because the calendar doesn't always fit.
Yes.
Did you have a specific topic in mind for today? Did you want to share something specific?
Well, I think that's the same question like I said before when you asked me to introduce myself. Like there are so many topics I could talk about. And basically that's also why I started my own podcast as well. To talk about everything. So in my podcast, I'm basically focusing on all the things in my which around my work as a mind body eating coach. So there are a lot of different other topics we can talk about. So I'm really open.
We can start with that. I'll have a I can relate to this. You had an eating disorder, no? You share that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was many years ago, but it was a decade. So it was a long time. Seems like I'm super old. I'm not. I'm not. It's just started really early. Yeah. Now
Starts
it's.
usually when we're teenagers, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so for me, it started like when I had my first therapy, they kind of looked into diagnostic and see like, okay, where did it started? Because they really made like this, I don't know why it's called like letter for the doctors. And then they put a date in. Of course, you never have a date from, okay, here it started. But based on what I told them, what were my first memories where I felt like, oh, I'm not feeling comfortable in my body. I want to change something that was around like 10, 12 years old. Yeah. So, and then I started therapy when I was like around 40, 24, 25. And it had like the peak. So where it was like the worst was really like in the early 20s, I would say. And then it had a clash, obviously. And that's when I started to realize, okay, I think it's time for therapy. Yeah. And you know, like there is when I feel like, okay, when I think back, I always think like, oh my God, I could have changed earlier. I didn't have to feel like this breakdown, this completely, yeah, mess of myself. Yeah, and that's what I want to give into this world now and to really bring more awareness into, hey, you don't have to wait for the clash in order to change something, in order to, yeah, get yourself up and say, okay, I'm gonna do something. You don't have to wait for that. We can always work a little bit earlier on it, and then it's maybe not so hard of a bumpy road to get out of it.
Yeah, I feel like we always do this. It
Yeah.
needs to get so bad until we're like, okay.
Yeah.
For everything. Yeah. So, and then that made you the coach you are today.
Yes, exactly. So at that time I was studying biology and nutrition and really wanted to become a teacher, and that was my idea. And I think especially nutrition was because I had a really good and inspiring nutrition teacher in my school. Obviously, like at this time, I was super interested in it because I wanted to lose weight. I always wanted to be super healthy. So it was a subject in my school where I really want to focus on more. And I thought like, oh, I could be this teacher. So yeah, I started becoming a teacher, but I actually never thought it then in school, because after I finished my degree, I just went traveling and ended up then here in Basel and working as a primary teacher. And then I started also teaching yoga. It was actually when I started my therapy, I started really experiencing yoga in the yogic way, let's say, because before I was doing yoga before, but just with the, it was YouTube on a computer, and it was back in the days, it was, I don't know, I don't think it was so much different yoga styles on. I mean, now the computer, like the YouTube, is full of really good also recorded yoga sessions. And yeah, but for me, it was like a nice way to work out and still be flexible. And it was kind of a trend and I liked it. And yeah, so I did it always in my living room or in my bedroom. But I skipped the meditation, I skipped the Shavasana, didn't need it. And I just needed the workout to feel it really okay, strong yeah, and hard yeah. workout. Yeah. And when I started therapy, I thought like, okay, I'm gonna try to go into a yoga studio once more. And I remember when the yoga teacher said we start the class in a lying position and we close our eyes. So it was kind of a fake Shavasana in the beginning to start the class. And I couldn't close my eyes. Like, it was so loud in my head and all the noises and all the words. And it was just a mess in my head. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, okay, there is something going on. I need to look deeper inside of me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really discovered this other side of yoga, like the inside of the yoga. And so it was a really big tool which helped me through a lot of things, especially the meditation, the mindful part of yoga. And then, obviously, like I wanted to dive more into it. That's what I always do when I feel something is really interesting. I want to jump all the way in and become a teacher. So I started my teacher training. And yeah, in Basel, I ended up as a primary teacher, but starting teaching yoga besides. Mm-hmm. And it was actually when I did then a couple of one-on-ones, and I realized I really like this setting, like helping one woman in specific, like really working intensively with one person. And when we started traveling, so it was actually during the COVID time, me and my partner didn't want to stay in Basel, because we said, so we were both working in the public fields, in fitness studios and gyms and yoga spaces, and they're all closed up. So it was, anyway, it was, everything was online. That time I didn't work at school anymore. Mm-hmm. So we decided we just go traveling, and we actually really found one, you know, there was the one wave and then they shut down like Switzerland's borders, and we just made it out before they closed it up again. And that's when I thought, like, okay, and I'm going to shift everything online. And then I kind of put all the cards on the table and say, okay, what is it? What I have learned, what I can teach, what is my experience, what can I give to others? What can I, yeah, what fulfills me also to give and to teach? And then I thought, like, hey, it's obvious. I want to help women who experience the same like me to get them out faster. And as I said in the beginning, to maybe help them before it needs to clash, before they have reached rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's when I dived more into this area and yeah, found also as a school where I could like certified as a mind body eating coach to really get all this eating psychology knowledge also.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Thank you. It was a monologue.
It was great. It's great to hear other people's processes, like how, yeah. You know, all the coaches out there. I was so trained as a coach. I just don't call myself that because I have a love-hate relationship with this word.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How do you actually specialize in this specific thing, in this niche, right?
Yeah.
But for you, yeah, it's very, you went through it and you want to help other people.
Yeah. So it's also what I say, like, because Yeah, my monologue was not like an elevator pitch now. Like, I help women doing this and this and that. But in fact, like, it's just that what I do. Like, if I could put it in a few words and what I do. And yeah, you just got the long version now.
Great.
The process.
And I remember that you went to les Açores. I don't know how to say this.
Azores.
Azores.
Azores. Azores. Yep.
That was the first destination, no?
Yes, that was our first destination. Yeah, yeah. I think we got the hint of a friend of ours. I did not know about the Azores before. But he said, like, yeah, there is this island group, and it's like the little Hawaiian of Europe. And we looked at pictures, and we got super excited. And it is amazing. Yeah, it really is amazing. And it was crazy when we went there. It was, I mean, as I said, like, it was COVID, it was, no one was really traveling. And there were people, yeah, we've been stuck in Bali, and like in these, I have some friends who enjoyed these 2 years in Bali, and because they couldn't really go back, or they didn't want it to. But we went out to the Azores, and we found on Airbnb, we found in a little fishing village, we found this huge resort with this infinity pool. And we were basically the only two guests there. So they upgraded us into a suite with the ocean view. And it was crazy. It was
amazing.
Like the only people in this huge resort. And yeah, I mean, the Azores are nature-wise really amazing. But what we didn't know was that weather, it was not so great. Or let's say in November when we went there, it was nice. And they say it's like this everlasting spring, so it's never too cold, never too warm. It was definitely warmer than Switzerland or Austria, but it was still very, so into December, and it became very windy and unpredictable. Like, the weather was crazy. I've never seen so many rainbows, which is nice, but you could never really say, like, okay, I'm gonna go for a run, because as you're outside, the weather is changing and it's just pissing, and then you go inside again, and then you look out and you see the rainbow. You feel like, oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah. And we really wanted to go to the sun, so that's why we only stayed 2 months there.
Oh yeah. And then you went to the tropics.
Not yet, because it was not open. It was really hard to get out. I think we could have made it to Mexico, because a friend of mine was there.
Costa Rica.
Yeah, exactly.
Tanzania.
Yes. We were looking for Bali. It was closed. Yeah. Thailand was closed. So I felt kind of okay to stay in the area of Europe. But it's actually really hard to find something which is really, really warm this time of the year. So in beginning of the year, despite of the Canarian Islands. So we came to Gran Canaria first. And we stayed a couple of months in Gran Canaria. And then we went to Tenerife, and this is where we spent, I think, 1.5 years almost.
Oh, wow.
Or
okay.
1 year and a couple of months, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Yes, yes. I liked it really much. Yeah. And you could really see, like, how the time was changing then already. And Tenerife was full of people who was working remotely, and people who, yeah, just didn't want to stay and stick around middle of Europe during this COVID time, because it was just different. Me and my partner, so me and Renato, we always say, like, we didn't really experience the COVID time like a lot of friends of us experienced it, who were living in Basel or in Austria. It's just different for us.
And Basel was not even the worst. Like, I am French, so I moved to Basel actually just before COVID, a few months before COVID, and it was way worse in France. The rules and, yeah, the rules basically, what you could do and not do. And
yes,
it was way freer here. So I'm super grateful that I was here.
That's true. That's true. It's also the same for Austria. So Austria and French and
Yeah.
Germany.
Germany, yeah. So, yeah. What a crazy time. But for us, in it was not bad at all. It's quite enjoyable to relax, actually, you know, to not overplan stuff and meeting people, even though I love meeting people, but you know, you had that reason to say, hey, no, I'm gonna stay home and do nothing. Because it's dangerous. Because I'm a little bit, I have a little cold. Who knows? Maybe COVID, you know? It was quite enjoyable. And of course, if it lasts too long, it's not enjoyable anymore, you know? But I remember having and we meditated so much during that time. I just came out of Vipassana. It was perfect timing. So I knew, or I had, because of course you learn with yoga how to meditate, but it was so hard for me to sit down. And with Vipassana, I felt like it really taught me to stay seated. And I had something to do, that body scan. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And yeah, it was a really good time.
Yeah, that
Of
sounds like the
course.
perfect entry for
Yeah.
the
But of course, yeah, if it, yeah, I love to travel too, so I'm glad it's over as well. Okay, and then you, after Tenerife, did you come back into Basel for a while, or?
Yes, we came like for a summer, I think. So I was always going back and forth from Tenerife as well. Like
Yeah.
I do a lot of working with kids in the holidays. So in the holidays I always went back to Switzerland and then visit Austria again. We went back to Tenerife. And after Tenerife, we came back for a summer, spent the summer here in Basel because summer in Basel is really amazing. And we also did a festival tour, yes. So to a couple of festivals in Portugal and in Hungary. And then we went to Bali. Sorry.
Just to, you did festivals to teach, right? To share
Yes,
some practice.
exactly. Yeah. So the Boom Festival in Portugal, it was Renato who did the workshops and I was assisting him. And then Ozora, the festival in Hungary, we just went for just for fun and to see it and to be there. But the year after, I did also my first workshop there, which was a huge milestone, let's say, in my career. Because it's just such a big setting. Like it's a lot of people, and but it's a great audience.
And it was yoga, or what did you?
I did a workshop on how to cultivate a positive self-image. And I co-hosted it with Renato, so we did it together then, and it was just amazing. It was just a such big energy, and I don't know if you have been to a festival like this, to these big gatherings, but everyone is so,
Happy.
yeah, happy, yeah, in love, in peace. So it's super. It's that's why it's such a great audience. Yeah, I don't know, it's different if you look in a gym and you see the people after work. Of course, yeah, of course.
Makes sense. I never thought of it. Because we did also our own Dryland yoga, right?
Yes, that's why I actually met
Was
you.
it?
Yes.
And I never thought of that. Yeah. And I was at festivals in Bali. I mean, you can only be happy there for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and then you went to Bali.
Yes, exactly. Then we went to Bali. We stayed there for 2 months. I think it was so with everyone I'm talking, and I don't know when you have been to Bali, but there is kind of this pre-COVID Bali and then this post-COVID Bali, which is super different. So because it was so crowded. It was for me, it was really like, of course, we stayed in areas where a lot of people came and where a lot of people choose to live there as digital nomads. But yeah, it was just too much for us at this time. And maybe if we would have chosen to go somewhere else, but yeah, I don't know. We said, okay, with the next visa run, or with the next, we had to enter out for the visa, for the holiday visa we had. So we decided to go to Bangkok. And we actually stayed 4 months in Bangkok because we enjoyed it there so much. And this seems to be like a little bit controversial when I say, like, yeah, Bangkok, I mean, it's a such a big city, yeah. And I left Bali because it was too much, but it was different, you know. It's a big city vibe, and you get so much more in contact also with locals, and you really, yeah, you live there with expats who have their businesses there, and not just digital nomading. I think that was a huge difference. Yeah. And yeah, I kind of really fell in love with Bangkok. And whoever was traveling in Bangkok, most of the people I know are like, oh, I hate Bangkok, it's so much, it's such a and they manage that they just stay in Bangkok for 1 or 2 days, or just see the things you should see in Bangkok. But I
Uda
exactly and go to the Koh San Road to party.
and
But there are so many sides of Bangkok, like especially the parks, where you feel, where you find so much peace within this big city life.
I was sick when I was there, so
Oh,
I didn't enjoy it at all. I
yeah.
just wanted to make it to Bali. I did Thailand first and then
Yes.
got sick in what is it called? Chiang Mai, and then Bangkok, and then in Bali. Then I was fine again.
It's interesting, we had exactly the other route, like we had Bali first, then to Bangkok, and then to Thailand, so to the islands of Thailand. So then we went to Koh Phangan, and this was actually our last stop in Asia before we came back to Switzerland last year.
And what was your favorite out of? So Bangkok maybe, or out of Asia and then out of everything.
I think Thailand, the islands of Thailand. Yeah. Yeah. We've been in Koh Phangan for 2 months, or Renata was even longer. I think it would be too small for me to live there. But maybe like the area of Phuket, or something where you have a little bit more of a city, not like, because what I realized when I'm too long on an island, I get this, I don't know how it's called, island collapse, where I feel like, oh my God, I need to go off now. I need space. I don't know if you know the Gili Islands in I could not live there because
No, me neither.
that would not be, and for me, I'm kind of looking for a spot where I know that, oh, this is gonna be my residence.
Every time I travel, I always think, could I live here? Even though I have no plan to live there, but it's an
Yes.
automatic thing since I'm in my early 20s, I don't know. And I think, could I live here? And then it ruins the whole experience because if I could just enjoy it for what it was for that week, you know, I wouldn't, but I always have that thing, could, yeah. And so I lived actually on Nusa Lembongan, 30 minutes from Sanur, and I had a boyfriend there. And so I spent a month there teaching yoga and living there. Oh man, and then it was so boring. There's nothing there. So for 3 days, it's amazing. But for a month, oh my God, give me cafes I can go to. And I mean, maybe now it has changed. It's been 7 or 8 years, but I feel you. And
Yes.
the islands of Thailand, yeah. I went to Koh Samui for that was that's more there is a bit more there. And then this other, I think it was Koh Phangan, I don't even remember. But yeah, I didn't stay that I Thailand for me was not I preferred Bali so much more. I don't know why. But it's so personal every time.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. It is, yeah. Yeah, I realized I really kind of missed like the one thing I missed from Bali when I went to Thailand. And it's just really, I think, only Bali, the culture of the Hinduism. It's, yeah, that's what I really like there as well.
That they have all those ceremonies and
Yes, gives you kind of a different vibe.
Yeah, it's true. And you hear always the same songs,
Yeah.
the same bells. Yeah, it's beautiful. I just watched that movie with it's on Netflix now. It was in the movies last year in Switzerland with Julia Roberts and George Clooney. And they go to Bali because their daughter wants to get married to a Balinese man.
I never heard of it.
You didn't? It's super
No.
mainstream. Maybe that's why.
Okay.
But yeah, it's yeah. Anyway, if you get a chance.
Yes.
But they super Hollywood like. It's not real life, but still nice. And it's funny because Julia Roberts was in Eat, Pray, Love, and it was in Bali, and now she's
Yes.
moving
Yeah.
again, and it's in Bali, and I'm like, must be nice to make movies in
Yeah, that movie I've seen.
That movie was such a, I don't know for you, but so it's so in our culture somehow, no?
It is, yeah.
And also, it's maybe potentially because of the movie that Bali is what it is now. Unfortunately. I heard from Christine that Canggu is super crowded and yeah, it's really crazy now. Well, Europe has a lot to offer too, I'm sure. So what's the next destination?
That's always a good question. So we have one fixed destination in winter, which is Uruguay. It's gonna be my first time in South America, so I'm practicing my Spanish. Yeah, because so Renato's family comes from Uruguay. He has his grandfather there, and he's celebrating his birthday, and we're gonna have this huge family gathering there. So we're gonna go there, and then it's open if we go back to Switzerland, if we stay a little bit longer, if we continue being there. And that's for us usually the thing, like we never plan too much into the future because it's always changing. So we stopped really doing these attachments, but we have these fixed points, and this gives me kind of a stability as well, knowing, okay, this is when this is happening, and this is when I have to be there. So my sister is getting married in end or mid of October, so I know for sure gonna be here in Europe and like Switzerland or Austria until this time, and then I have this point in December where I'm gonna be, and then I see where it leads us.
So no, not Asia for now.
I mean, I when I went back from Thailand last year, I was sure that next time I'm going to go back because it was really hard going back last year. I mean, I had a lot of seminars planned, cacao ceremonies, women's circles. So I was really kind of one side really looking forward to go there, to go to Europe and host these ceremonies and seminars, and they went really well. So it was super. But on the other hand, it was a time where I enjoyed life so much on the island and enjoyed island life. And the hard thing was that Renato was staying longer. So I knew that, okay, it was the attachment to the island, it's the separation of your partner, and I'm just not a person for long distance. It's actually the part where it's the long distance is okay for me. It's more this finding back together, because during this time you're alone, you kind of go back into your single routines, let's say, yeah, because you don't have to match and see, okay, are we going to do this in the evening, or yeah, am I living together with someone? It's just, yeah, you and your own routines, and we both most of the time focusing so much more on energy different parts in our in business or in our work, and then you find back together, and it's always this finding back together thing, which I don't like from the long distance.
And so how is it exactly to travel together, work together sometimes? How do you navigate all that in the relationship?
I think I would have answered this question in different parts of this last, let's say, 5-4 years differently. Because, so first I can say, like, I really enjoy that we are so much in the same fields, that because we can co-host retreats so great together, and everyone who has been on retreats or workshops with us, they always say, like, our energies together are really like boom. So it's, they enjoy it and we enjoy it, and it's really cool to co-host, because, and also to have the same routines, so we have a lot of the same interests where we can go together. And I think then it comes that when we travel together, especially during the COVID time, we were just the two of us, kind of. So it was always like, and this is beautiful, this is nice, yeah. But as we said, like, when you work together then, and you have maybe your office is at home and you sit on the same desk and you're always together, and we got used to that so much. So it's actually, now that we're in Switzerland and we're not living together at the moment, it feels like we are on so different parts, but it's actually just that we're not used to that anymore, because we were used to, like, be on, like, yeah, living together, working together. It's always together, together, together. And now being like two individuals living next to each other, which is kind of, I mean, what is normal? Yeah, they can say this is normal, this is normal. But it's actually where we started. Like, when I was here in Switzerland, we were living together then at one point, but we still had our different working schedules. We went out of the house and came back together in the evening, see us and maybe a dinner or something. So it can be a lot, and I think you really need to work on communication and transparency. Because when you just live in a small bungalow and you go to the same co-working space, you don't have really space for yourself. So that means it can be that, when we sit together in a bungalow apartment, and I think if I would have experienced this before, I was working so much also on my emotions, on the communication, I would have felt like, oh my God, he hates me, he doesn't want to be here with me, because we were just both like, it seems harsh now when I said it, but kind of ignoring each other. Like, okay, I'm doing my stuff now here, and you're doing your stuff in the same room. But that's kind of important when you don't have the space, literally, like with a door in between, or with a wall in between.
And you have to work. And
Exactly. And then it comes in the communication part, where you really say, like, okay, hey, I need my space, and that no one is taking this personally or something, because, like, it's always on how am I communicating my needs, my boundaries. And then, of course, there's always the other side. Am I hearing what he's saying? Am I listening? Or am I just hearing what I think I'm hearing?
Or what I want to hear. What I want to think.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
All the time. Yeah, thanks. So for you, actually, it's not better, but it works pretty well to be together.
Yes, I think that's the great thing what we can say. Looking back on these years of being together, traveling together, in different settings, is that we can handle both. I think it's always the question also, how much stability does everyone has within him or herself? Because for a long time it was more like Renato who was providing me stability and structure, really taking on this masculine part side. And it was like not in harmony with these energies. And maybe to adults, like we are in an open relationship, so there is a lot of openness, not only in a personal way or in, yeah, kind of lose track now here.
Do you want to share about the open relationship side of it?
Yeah. Now I'm going back. What I want to say was that because we were kind of open all the time already, but never really in a physical way. So it was more like, okay, we had the intention and we said like, okay, we are in a holy relationship or in an open relationship, and there are so many different terms, yeah. But then we never really experienced it, because it's not really that when you say, I remember when I said this to my friends in the beginning, like, oh, we're in an open relationship, or we're in a polyamory relationship. There are so many different thoughts, like, okay, just, does it mean you can just fuck around, or does it mean that? And it was not for us like that. That, yeah, because I'm, let's say, I grew out of my party one night stand time. So that's not what I wanted, yeah. It's more like, okay, when you find someone else and you feel like this deep connection, there should not be this rule or this boundary that you say like, I can't because I'm attached to someone else, or I belong just to someone else. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But it's just different when you really experience it, because then there are so many things you never know that there is still under your hidden trigger barriers. You never know what you don't know. And I think when we really opened it, and it was first me who went out with someone else, we realized, okay, we need to shift our energies. Like, it cannot only be that he is providing the structure, the stability, and I'm just I'm just blooming in this field, yeah. I need also to step into this structure building and holding stability space for him. Yeah, it was only that I could imagine doing it, and that's why I did went out with someone else, was because I felt so much stability and so much structure. But of course, then then it comes also in like, how do you communicate? Mm-hmm. How transparent you are. Mm-hmm. So it is a lot of learning. And mm-hmm. yeah, I think if we both would not have worked so much together also on our communication, and we read both of us kind of the same books, and we're talking about these, and we're implying it into a relationship, into our openness. And I think if we would not have done this, we would not have been together for all these travels. And mm-hmm. yeah. It's just a super necessary part.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And yeah, 'cause it's not something, I mean, there are so many, oh no, actually society tells you there is only one way to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you notice, I'm not sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, actually. I feel like we are really the pioneers. I mean, no, this has been done before, but also with this whole having kids thing, and I notice mm-hmm. how many people separate. I mean, our parents' generation already, but now more and more, because the woman works, and so money-wise, it's actually doable, and the woman maybe wants more, or different, I don't know, it's mm-hmm. it's really shifting, I feel.
Absolutely. And I also feel like this whole relationship things, like it's becoming more and more open, or I don't know, I think, as you said, like our generation is a generation where we go really different ways now. I think for me, it's just, we need to be aware of, okay, with this change, what we're doing, we should also look at our changing behaviors in keep on working on communicating and working on our inner things, because we are breaking through a yeah, a generation where we break habits, different habits we have been living for generations. And there comes a lot with it. So, for example, when I experienced the other side, like when Renato went out with other girls or with other women, I also see, okay, where am I now in my personal development? Because a couple of years ago, I could not have done this because my body image, my self-perception was not good. So I would have always lose in terms of I'm gonna compare myself with the other girl, and I wouldn't always be not enough. So there has to be this self-development, this working on our inner self and our triggers, traumas, and all these things to really be able to live these new ways, I think. If that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. And it's hard. It's not easy.
Oh my gosh, yes. No, not saying that it's easy.
Yeah, because you see all the shit that comes up, and I think how people usually deal with it is like, okay, it's over or whatever. And oh yeah, it's so hard. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. Thanks.
I switched topics now, but if you have some more to add later, you totally can. I saw a video of yours on Insta, and I don't know if it was the podcast or if it was a little bit of a course you were giving, and you were saying that it's important the things you put in yourself, so in your mouth, so the food, of course, but also things you listen to or what you consume in general. Do you want to share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was actually really a part of a coaching session. So I recorded this coaching session, and I that's why I needed to cut it the way that you also don't see my client, because it was really a session with her, and we've been talking about drugs, actually, so about drug abuse. And it's so, as I said, like I usually work with women who are experiencing, for example, emotional eating. But when you look at the fact, okay, what is emotional eating? You have the food and you replace it with something else, with something you don't want to look into, like the emotions you don't want to give space to, or a lack you feel, or an insecurity, or anything else. Yeah. And then it also gives you kind of dopamine kick. Once you have this emotional eating, binge eating rush, and you have the cravings and you feel like, oh my God, I want to have this chocolate now. There is a dopamine rush, and it's kind of really the same when it comes to different other substances. So I was working with this one woman. She met me at a cacao ceremony, and she really said like, hey, I wanna get this done, and I wanna stop with what I'm doing. So I had this, I call it intellectual interventions when I'm in this coaching setting. And I mean, coaching is, you know, it's a lot of asking questions, getting the people to reflect on themselves, handing on the right tools, and kind of guiding the direction where to go. But then there is sometimes the part where I'm just step into this kind of teaching mode, where I just, yeah, or I don't know, like a parent who is like teaching you now how to do it, and hey, wake up and do it this way. And so that was kind of this part you've seen in the in this reel, where I just told her, hey, look at this way now. So I like to do metaphors. And if you imagine you have a house and you live in this house, especially here in middle of Europe, it's different in other parts maybe, but you have your door shut down and like closed, and you make sure that not anyone comes into your house. You sometimes open the windows for fresh air, you clean it up, your space, you want to have it tidy. And yeah, you take care of who and what you want to invite into your house. And if we see our bodies as this house, it's kind of the same. But it's not, because we are not that aware of it. We are just putting into our system whatever feels nice or joyful, or we are dopamine driven and just putting in and not being aware, okay, what is it actually doing within my body? Does it gives me joy? Does it helps me going towards my goals? Is it purposeful or is it not helping? And if you think of this then as a kind of our first immune system barrier, is the thoughts of, okay, do I want to put this into my system now? And it's basically also the same, like, is it drugs, is it alcohol, any drugs, yeah, is it food, like junk food, is it the lyrics you're hearing from different musics, yeah, or is it really violent and intriguing stuff on you're watching and on Netflix, and yeah, who is it you're letting into your body if you're a woman, yeah? So because there is also energy which is flowing. So this is what I actually was talking in this reel and in this coaching session about.
Yeah, and it's so important. And we often think of it as only food, but not all these other things. And of course, food is also important, but all that other stuff too.
Yes.
Exactly. While you were saying that, I wanted to come back to the relationship. And it's a genuine question, and I know you have to go soon, but how do you, if you are in this open relationship, and then your partner goes somewhere else, and then how do you find that connection again, or how do you feel like it's worth staying together no matter what happens with somebody else?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's hard to put it in words. I just know it. It's kind of, and also we had to find out. Yeah. It's not that we just said, okay, we're in this in a relationship and we just figured it out. It's really a learning by doing. So I think for me, there was one thing I realized, and I have friends, maybe to add this here, who have been living in open relationships for many, many years. They have a son together, and they had sometimes another girlfriend together. And so I was talking, obviously, a lot with them and also him. And I asked her once, like, if she feels, as you call it, in jeopardy, like, when he's out with someone else, like the fear of might losing him and might not being the one. And she said, like, she never really thought about that, because there is always she and her husband in this case,
because
married.
It's so sure.
Exactly, so exactly, exactly. And for me, that was a point where I realized I was missing this in the beginning a little bit, that I thought, like, oh my God, am I really, like, are we together? Like, are we here? But through the years, we realized, okay, we have built really a foundation. And that's why, coming back to these communication things, yeah, communication builds the foundation, transparency, authenticity. And this is when you really feel like, okay, this is my emotional home and I can let myself fall into this home. And I have this stability within this relationship. And that also adds on to what I said before, that it's important that I'm, as the woman, also am able to hold space and to be there if it's unstable on the other side, you know? And that's when we were talking about this as well. And I just know that, yeah, there's, I mean, of course, yeah, there can always be something which can take apart, yeah. But it's not something I'm in fear of, I would say. Because, of course, what I said also with the energies before, like when you, we have our, I say, guidelines. And this, of course, like not in a place where I'm also coming in, like if it's his room or if it's my room, or obviously if we live together, it's our bedroom. So, that's important also for me, like to take care of my needs there. And you say, okay, let's say he's out with a woman, and the next day, do I really feel like going there now? Do I really feel, what do I feel like? What do I want? And also communicating it. But yeah, it's actually now it's really, it's not easier. I don't say it's easy for me now because it's not. Yeah, you always have another challenge, but the trick is always on my side. You know, it's just the things I look have to look deeper. No, no, this is like a topic where we can talk a lot about and long because there is so many things coming up and I have had so many conversations also with friends of mine who are in really monogamous relationships who could not imagine doing this, having this. And then I also have talks about with people who have been living, as I said, this couple for a long time in this open and poly relationships where I feel like, oh my God, I could not could do this. And like, yeah, as I said before, we're transitioning.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing. Maybe let's see if there's another podcast series about relationships, then you will be a guest again.
Thank you. Thank you. I was also thought it would be interesting to have this conversation also with Renato together because obviously he's part of it.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. We can schedule that. I just have to figure out how, what the name of it is going to be and all the the back work, back office. Yeah, no, great. Thank you. So you have a retreat in France coming up soon, I saw.
Yes, it's going to be a weekend retreat with a good friend of mine, with Laura. And it's going to be more the focus of yoga. And then I have in mid of May, I will have a woman retreat again, in this time in Austria.
And everything is on your website.
Yes, everything is on my website and kind of thinking of putting a next woman retreat in autumn already, in fall, like maybe October or something. Not sure yet, but we'll get all the informations on my Instagram or website.
Thank you for sharing today. And I hope I see you at Kult soon.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me and thanks for listening.
Thank you all for listening. See you soon.
See you. Bye.
Bye.